rainbow carrots, lemon cucumbers, watermelon radishes, chocolate heirloom tomatoes. A visit to one of New York City's screen markets is sure to dazzle even the most discriminating of eaters. But providing the city's top chefs and home cooks alike with such bounty requires more than skilled farmers who nurture it. We need ample farmland nearby so it can be harvested and shipped to market quickly. And therein lies the problem. Family farmers must compete with wealthy developers for land. In honor of the Green Market's 40-year anniversary, I'm pleased to welcome two veteran farmers to our show to discuss the role of Green Markets in preserving our region's disappearing farmlands. Morse Pitts of Windfall Farms has been farming in the Hudson Valley for 35 years. Chip Kent is the sixth-generation farmer to run Locust Grove Fruit Farm. And I'm very pleased to welcome both of you to our show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Hey, so Chip.
How long have you been farming, Morse?
I've been saying 30 years for too long and just realized it's 35 years now. So 35
Chip?
Years.
You know, I am so much younger than Morse, but, it's been a lot longer. I've been doing Green Market for 40 years.
So you were there when the market first opened.
Yep, it was Bob Benepe with a big beard. Mm-hmm. He also had dark hair then. And we had the little lot on the corner of 58th Street and 2nd Avenue.
Did you always, that's where the first one was, 58th Street and 2nd Avenue?
Yep, right across the street from the Rolls-Royce dealer.
When did the major one move to Union Square?
That one started in September, and the next year it started in September of 78. So in 76, and then 77 it started Union Square.
And Morris, how long have you been at the Green Markets?
I think I started about 1985. We kind of eased into it. We used to do like health food stores and things, and then restaurants. And restaurants became too scary a business. And the person I worked with delivering things and selling found out that he could sell computers a lot better than a limited supply of vegetables for me. So we went that way.
A farmer has a number of options. They can just sell it to some wholesaler. They can also specialize in restaurants, or you can do Green Markets or a combination.
And Green Market is what works best for us. We discovered it's a lot easier to pay people at the end of the week when you get the money that day. And also, it's just fun to, you know, meet all the people and follow the trends and see what they want. And being so close to the city, we can do weird things like squash blossoms that are very perishable, so none of the big places do them. But we can bring them in the very day.
You pick them and then you bring them in?
Yep, we pick some the day before and bring them in the morning we pick more and bring them in the afternoon.
How close is Windfall Farms to the city?
We're 66 miles and only an hour and a half if there's no traffic, which happens once a year.
And how big is the farm?
The farm is 142 acres altogether. I actually grow on about 25 acres of it. And then we've got a lot of woodland and wetland.
And Chip, you specialize in fruit in the Hudson Valley?
That's true. We have 100 acres under cultivation right across from Poughkeepsie on the Hudson River. And, we've been, farming basically fruit here the whole time. You know, we do some heirloom tomatoes and some sweet corn, but one of our specialties are stone fruit, which we had none of this year, and apples. We have 75 varieties.
Now, the stone fruit, you mean peaches and apricots. Many of the farmers in the Hudson Valley had no crops this year because of an unusual weather pattern?
Very unusual, albeit it was very nice and comfortable to be outside, but if you remember correctly, around Christmas, it was near 70 degrees, and the fruit trees, what they need to do is return, the sap and everything become fully dormant and stay that way. That's the way a nice, foot of frost and a couple foot of snow on the ground is perfect for us. And we didn't have that come along to Valentine's Day, and it went down to 9 below 0 on the trees. And the buds, the trees themselves did, but the fruit buds couldn't take that.
So we have a limited peach crop this year, locally anyway.
Yeah. Locally, very limited.
Does that also happen with the kinds of things you grow?
Well, we do have some apple trees, and we had our best apple year ever last year. And this year, I've seen one apple. It's just like they're just not happy this year. And weather patterns, they just decided, okay, we gave our all last year. We're taking a break this year. But we're so diversified, it doesn't hurt us too much.
I'm throwing this out to both of you. How important are farmers like you to introducing the public to new and unusual foods? Or maybe old and what seem to be unusual foods? You mentioned heirlooms. Are they really the oldest crops you can grow?
Well, one interesting thing is when we first came down to the city, I brought tomatoes 35, 36 years ago, and nobody really knew what they were. They thought they were a tropical fruit. They were used to these hard things that were just sort of made to look red, and they were flabbergasted. And that's another thing, just being close enough to the city to bring it in fresh, it's a whole different thing. Like a tomato is best if you pick it and eat it right away, and anything beyond that, it's losing its flavor. So we're pretty close bringing it in the day after we pick it.
And heirloom, is that just a marketing term, or how does it compare to other terms like natural, organic?
Oh, boy. The million-dollar question. Well, I think as far as, fruit and, tomatoes, the heirloom signifies the varieties that sort of fell out of favor because they're too difficult. But they did have the good flavor characteristics that we all enjoy. So we do the heirloom varieties of apples, which if you asked me in the late 70s or the early 80s, nobody would have even known, because Northern Spies and Baldwins were, kind of staples falling out of favor. But, we always had them, and our customers, were used to that. But now it's sort of a category. I don't think it's not as bad as going the whole organic marketing thing, but it just does classify a certain type of fruit or vegetable.
What are heirloom apples? What are some of the types?
Right, so you have your yellow Newtown Pippin, you have your Northern Spies, which are best for pies. That's how my dad met my mom. Anyway.
And it rhymes, too.
It does. It works very nicely. Baldwin, which used to be the number one apple in New York State, until it was taken over by the Macintosh. So that goes back quite a ways. Rhode Island Greening. Some of these, are early settler type varieties. So, as Morris pointed out, the smartest thing in this business is not to be specialized in one thing; it's to be diverse. So, not only do you have the older varieties, you got to stay up with all the new. And I don't even have to mention the name, but if somebody talks about apples, all they want is Honeycrisp.
Hmm.
So that's it.
Now, Morris, has it been a kind of like an educational experience teaching the people who come to your stand about things that they might not have buy otherwise? And does it also work vice versa?
I was going to say, it very much goes both ways. We sell a lot of Callaloo right now, which I believe is used in the West Indies, which is amaranth, which we call pigweed on the farm. And we sell big bunches of it, and there's almost anything you can grow. There's an ethnic group in New York City that knows what it is. So if we bring it in, somebody will discover it. And going the other way, people constantly ask us for things.
So you've started growing things that you might not have grown otherwise because of requests from customers?
Right from the get-go. The first place we sold to in New York City was Dean and DeLuca, and they gave us all these mimeograph things of weird lettuces that didn't exist anywhere in the world as far as they knew, and could we please find seeds? And we found some from Italy. But like 30, 40 years ago, there was iceberg lettuce and that's it. But once we started to look and we keep trying new things, there's all sorts of things out there, but they don't ship well. It's hard to do the fresh stuff. It's like my favorite apple at the orchard I used to work at was the Milton, and it was just about really soft and sweet and like delicious, but it wouldn't, you get it 20 feet from the tree and it just dissolves.
Well, both of you have farms near Milton, New York. Is it named after Milton?
I always assumed that, but the farm I used to work at, the farmer is gone and the farm's gone, so I never was able to find out the history of the Milton apple.
I think that variety was probably in Massachusetts or something like that. It was not this Milton.
My guests are Chip Kent of Locust Grove Fruit Farm and Morris Pitts of Windfall Farms. They are both regulars at the green markets. How many green markets do you sell at? The larger farms often are at a number of them.
We are at Union Square on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and then also Lincoln Center on Thursdays and Saturdays, and then we do one of my favorite markets is the 97th Street Market on Fridays.
And Morris?
And I do Wednesday and Saturday at Union Square, and we've started to do by the Museum of Natural History, I think it's 78th Street. Very different market than Union Square, and we more cater to like families there, so we can sell a lot of things that we can't really at Union Square.
And you mentioned that you can sometimes, you're sometimes selling something you picked that very day. How does that compare with some of the stores that people rely on, like Whole Foods?
Well, I got questions about the Whole Foods store, why stuff was rotten when people got it home, and that my stuff would last in the refrigerator for 2 weeks, and I'd have to explain that that's not really local. It's coming from someplace far away. Mine was picked yesterday, and it'll keep for 2 weeks if it's picked yesterday, but not so much if it's picked 2 weeks ago in some other country.
Now, Chip, we mentioned that your father was one of the founding farmers of the Green Market. He began selling fruits directly to New Yorkers back in 1976. What was the most unusual thing he sold back then?
The most unusual thing? Well, we always picked all our grapes, our Concord grapes, and we put them in big bins and took them down to Kedem Winery, and they made manischewitz out of it. There was no money in it. And so we started selling the Concords down at the market. And lo and behold, it's a table grape, even though the Concord traditionally is not. You know, it's best used for jelly juice or wine. We've selling them ever since. But
Are Concords indigenous grapes? Because they are not the varietals that European grapes, European wines are made from.
Right. So there's a old saying that if you want to make money growing grapes, you grow Concord, because they always come through, and they do. You can freeze out, and then they can come out with a secondary bud. As far as indigenous, I'm not really sure. Could have been a little help from Cornell a long time ago.
Farmers are under a lot of pressure to keep expanding. Has your relationship with the Green Markets allowed you to do that?
We have expanded quite a bit. We are starting a U-pick on a 20-acre farm that we bought that was to the north of us. Put up a building, and we have, we'll start the U-pick in mid-September. So you kind of, if you can't be too small in the fruit business, otherwise you might get lost. So like Morris was saying, you need to be a little diverse, and not only in your varieties, but in your sales. So we'll have the U-pick. We have a little bit of wholesale. And what we like the most is the Green Market. So
the children of farmers often go into different professions, but you're the sixth generation to farm. Will there be a seventh?
There is a seventh. His name is Sawyer, which probably wasn't the smartest name to name him, because that means he's the cutter of trees, and we kind of need those to keep going. But he's going to Cobleskill, and he will be the seventh generation to farm this land. And my other kids, they're going to college, so we'll see what they decide to do.
More so
in the future.
A lot of college graduates are choosing to farm. Do you find that surprising?
Not really, but what's surprising is the amount of debt they accrue before they decide to start to farm. And years ago, I picked up a hitchhiker who we were talking about the farm, and I have the farm, and he very much wanted to start a farm, and he was bemoaning the fact that 30 years ago, his parents had spent over $60,000 on his education, and he wanted to be a farmer, and realized belatedly that that would have bought a farm then.
Is it harder for young farmers to purchase land today?
Virtually impossible anywhere near New York City. That's a problem with, Green Market and having fresh food, and they're fighting very hard to help new farmers get established and be, within striking distance in New York City.
Well, the fact that you can go to Green Markets helps to prevent some of this farmland from disappearing.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you're competing with the richest people in New York City for farms. And one new farmer we actually helped get started with the help of Grow NYC and Green Market had a wonderful market here, but found out he could not afford a farm here. And the wonderful thing that his customers were telling him as he told them they were leaving, and they didn't want him to leave, was, you could use my farm. They all had farms, but didn't farm them, and wonder why they can't get fresh food in New York City.
You've said, Chip, that the Green Markets helped you resist the pressures of industrial farming.
Well, sure. When long before 76, my my dad would kind of go over to the bungalow colonies, and he would sell, you know, half bushels back when people bought half bushels of fruit. So he would do that, have regular root, a couple little overnight markets and such like that. But the, you know, the market itself, the green market, you know, just opened up, you know, a whole lot more opportunities. And I will say the one thing that has helped our area is the fact that the real estate prices went down. There's more farmland coming back into production than I've ever seen, which is really a nice thing.
Then there's this program called Farm Roots that is allowing people to buy more farmland?
Well, they're being a huge help to me because I'm lucky enough at the last minute to have avoided industrial development. And long story short, basically when I'd go to land trust for the last 30 years, they'd go, you have too much development pressure, we can't help you. Suddenly, somebody in my office called somebody at Orange County Land Trust about 4 years ago, and the person came over and said, oh, my God, you have too much development pressure. We have to help you.
And development suddenly, pressure means that people are coming to you and offering you big amounts of money to buy your land?
Meaning that we were rezoned industrial and close to New York City, and the land is worth a fortune for industry. Hmm. But no way we can touch it for farming, but with the help of these land trusts, we actually get money to buy my family out and keep it a farm. But then keeping it staying a farm is a very complicated thing, and that's where Farm Roots is helping. And yeah. Also with the process of going through the easement and things, a farmer that's working all day doesn't have time to be on the phone all day talking to people about the easement and, you know, lawyerly questions about this, that, and the other thing. So without Farm Roots, I'd be helpless.
Despite your popularity with top chefs and food-loving New Yorkers, haven't you found saving for retirement to be a real challenge?
Yes, more than a challenge. It's just like the farm always intervenes and says, the farm says, no, we need money for the farm here. And the money you thought we were saving always goes back into the farm.
You, there's a Farm Roots there's a farmer named Zach Pickens at Farm Roots has helped lease your farm?
Leased a part of my farm. We're getting him started. First, he was part of a mentoring program when we had the farm. He was sort of learning to grow on a farm. He previously was growing in milk crates for a restaurant in the city, and now he's using a part of the farm, and he'll help you. He'll go on to long-term lease part of the farm, and then when he's done, turn that over to another farmer.
And he's growing exclusively for Tom Colicchio's Crafted Hospitality restaurants. Yep. We don't have a lot of time, but just last week, Governor Cuomo announced plans to invest $15 million constructing a new Green Market regional food hub in the Bronx. Is that going to augment the green markets around town, or is it going to wind up in competition with it? Have either of you thought about it or talked about that?
Will that be, is that wholesale that he's talking about?
Wholesale, yeah. Farmers market.
So that's quite different than what Morris and I do as far as, you know, retail right to the customer, you know, at the smaller farmers markets. That's going to be, I'm assuming, a larger wholesale, you know, to compete with Hunts Point more than us, I believe.
We've seen a major change in what's being made available in New York State. We have New York State-grown wheat. I don't think there was very much of that in the past. All kinds of beef and pork. Beer is being made, a lot more dairy products than in the past. Is this just a change in philosophy of farmers?
I don't know. It's a great time to eat, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's a change of demand to what do you call it, for farmers, diversifying is a wonderful thing. But then the demand from customers that taste the more local food and discover it's so much more tasty than things from far away.
What do you say to people who complain that prices are higher at the farmers market than they are at a lot of supermarkets, despite the fact that there's no middleman?
Well, we don't have to say too much because the person behind them is going to grab it.
Yeah, no, I've had that too. I have customers when somebody's complaining at the price, they elbow them out of the way and say, you know, this is wonderful. Get out of our way. If you don't want it, leave it to us. And then I also explain that the average wage on my farm, including myself, is $15 an hour. So if you happen to be making more than $15 an hour, please don't complain.
So you're making what is the proposed minimum wage, not even the current minimum
wage.
We're
trying for it. And I've hit it a couple of times, but then, like I say, the farm grabs it back.
Today at 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., Grow New York City's Union Square Green Market will host the last Summer Friday for the 2016 summer season. The theme of the evening will be Asian street food made with Green Market ingredients. It's free and open to the public. with dishes and alcohol to purchase. More information on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate. My great thanks to the two farmers who have been with us today, Morse Pitts of Windfall Farms and Chip Kent of Locust Grove Fruit Farm. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you, Chip.
See you, Morse.